Well, Happy New Year, and Happy New Decade. You see a picture come up on the screen here, the title, 2020 Vision. We want to refocus, we want to refresh, and behind me is a slide of a great horned owl. The provincial bird of what province? Any guesses? Alberta. I heard Alberta, and you're right. It's the provincial bird of Alberta. A great hunter with exceptional vision. The eyes are visually highly adapted for nocturnal, that is, night hunting, with a wide, almost completely binocular field of vision. Now, unlike other birds, this owl's eyes are right out front and rather stationary, but it can move its head, turn its head, rotating it about 270 degrees. You try doing that. I was trying to do that this morning and realized that I'm more like 40 degrees as opposed to 270 degrees. So you notice there it can look back and also look forward very well. It can kind of see all directions. Combined with some of the other senses, like a sense of smell and sound, this owl has exceptional vision, especially able to see things in the distance. Now, the vision of the great horned owl should get us thinking about the power of vision. The power as it applies to you and me as we are perched on the brink, looking ahead to 2020 and the 2020s. Beyond an eye exam or the challenge some of us have driving at night, this is about looking ahead as we've looked behind and trying to capture a compelling vision of the future as we set goals, establish priorities, and make our plans for the next decade. 2020 vision. The other night, my family was out for dinner at Del Shadows. We had a wonderful dinner. Melissa paid. That made it even more wonderful for me. And Mark blessed us with his company. And but it was a good night. We had really fine food, and it was an opportunity for me to ask the family, so what are your goals? What are your priorities for 2020? And the responses were compelling. They were very interesting, and it was a really healthy discussion. I wish I could ask you this morning, kind of in a one-on-one encounter, what are your goals? What are your priorities? What do you want to accomplish in 2020? What do you want to accomplish this decade? But here's a catch. How do these personal goals and priorities align with the goals and priorities of Byron Community Church? Now, that's a great question, if I don't say so myself. How do your personal goals align with the goals of this church? One of our discoveries last year in 1 Peter is that if you're a believer in Christ, you're not an individual. You are a people. And it's going to sound arrogant, but I think my favorite illustration last year was the illustration from 1 Peter 2 I used, when I had, you remember the Sunday, I had Mark's football jersey, and I said, it's not the name on the back of the jersey that matters, Mackie, but the name on the front of the jersey, the Edmonton Eskimos. In the same way, if you are a believer in Christ, you are part of the universal church, and the manifestation of the universal church is the local church. And many of you this morning identify with Byron Community Church. So the values, the purposes, the priorities of this church are very important, which leads me to a third question. What role does the church play in your personal goals? How, as a church, should we be supporting and encouraging you in goals around your family, your work, your finances? But I would also ask, what role do you have in Byron Community Church's purposes and goals, especially as we move forward? And of course, this gets us thinking about spiritual goals. A good friend of mine, Ron Hughes, I taught with Ron up at the Bible College. He's written a book that I began to read, and in the foreword, he made this statement that really got my attention. Not sure I agreed with it, then as I thought about it, I go, yes, he's right. Ron says, I have never met anyone who is satisfied with his or her spiritual life. There's always a sense of a need for growth or improvement. We're always pursuing as opposed to attaining. Now, let me illustrate that. If you were to say to me, John, this comment doesn't apply to me. I reached sinless perfection in 2014. And sorry, I don't really think that comment applies to me. Or in 2017, I arrived. I am completely Christ-like. You can't tell the difference between Jesus and me. Now, you're either deceiving yourself or you're delusional. I'll risk offending you in saying that. So for most of us, there's room for growth and improvement. And that should motivate us in setting some of these goals and priorities. So today, we're talking about 2020 vision and using words like to refocus, to refresh. This is like a starting point today. This is not an expository sermon this morning. Okay, so if you came looking for one, you'll be disappointed. Next Sunday, we're back after a long break into 1 Peter. I'm very excited. I am anticipating some great discoveries as we move our way through the rest of 1 Peter. But this morning, it's kind of like a pep talk today, this first Sunday of 2020. Imagine a coach in the locker room before the big game. Here's something even maybe more appropriate. In a few minutes, imagine London's own Dale Hunter as he is motivating a group of young men who in a couple of hours will be representing Canada as we play Russia for the gold medal game this afternoon. And imagine that kind of setting as we this morning think about goals and purposes, as we refocus, as we refresh, as we rethink and set priorities and reestablish purposes for the 2020s. This morning, we want to get started. In fact, I'm announcing this morning in deliberations with the elders that our spring series after 1 Peter will be titled 2020 Vision. So it's going to be a series as opposed to a message. And we're going to expand and we're going to flesh out and elaborate on some of the things we're talking about this morning. And I would imagine that when we kick off the fall of 2020, that we will pick up again on this notion of 2020 vision. This morning, to get started then, what I want us to do is to address some trends in the 2020s. I want us, second, to look at biblical purposes for the 2020s. And we're going to close with keying in on some important words and phrases that pertain to 2020 vision. One of my specific goals for this morning is that we would capture God's vision for Byron Community Church, that we would capture it and own it and make it our vision for the next decade. So let's get started by thinking about trends. You notice I have not used the word resolutions. Some of you may go, I'm a big fan of resolutions. Some of you I know go, I'm not a big fan of resolutions. Some of you have said, maybe I've resolved to lose weight in 2020, to exercise more, healthy eating. The problem with resolutions is usually by about the second week of January, they're all broken. In some cases, it has to do with unrealistic expectations. So if you're saying to me, John, I plan on losing 50 pounds in January, that might not be a realistic or reasonable expectation. Now, if resolutions involve setting some healthy habits and getting rid of some bad habits, then I would be all for that. What about predictions? If you've read any paper or looked at the media, in the last couple of weeks, we've been bombarded with forecasts and predictions. So I felt a bit guilty that I had none, so I came up with two or three this morning. I predict in the 2020s, you can hold me to this, the Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup in the 2020s. Amen? I also predict that by the end of the 2020s, 50% of Byron Community Church members will be driving Teslas. And in fact, I'm going to suggest this year that we, as part of our budget, Ron, plan on having 3 charging stations here in the parking lot. We're going to be on the cutting edge when it comes to electric vehicles. And then I predict, finally, that Jesus is going to return this decade, February 24th, 2028. That is not based on any kind of biblical source. It's my birthday, February 24th, and I think it would be a good date. To be honest with you, Jesus could return today. He might return later this year. It could be this decade. It could be 50 years from now. My line is be ready. Could be any time. Wouldn't it be exciting if it's this decade? But let's get back to trends. Just some trends in general, just to get you thinking about trends. What is the color for 2020? Those of you like me who are very fashion conscious are likely going, what are the colors, John, for 2020? There's two. One is called Back to Nature, and the other is Flame Scarlet. And I'm kind of hopeless. I'm going, I don't even know what those colors. I think I'm just going to stick to basic black. But Back to Nature, I think, has a green hue. Does anybody know? Okay, well, be watching for the green colors. Flame Scarlet, is that purple? Red? Blue? And I have a blue? Gray? Those are colors. Here's something that's very important as a trend. Skirts are going to get shorter in 2020. In fact, some have even suggested that the miniskirt will make a return in the 2020s. Forget about women wearing slacks to church. It's going to be miniskirts. Isn't that exciting? Oh, I got a few comments, and most of them aren't appropriate on a Sunday morning. Although, if you're going to invest in anything in the 2020s, you might want to invest in razors for women. That's about as far as I'll go in talking about miniskirts. Hey, did you know that the Volkswagen Beetle is done? Ceased production? That's kind of sad, isn't it? But this will be the first year there's no Volkswagen Beetles produced. Technology, I did a little research on trends in technology, and I was absolutely baffled. But there are major changes. Cable TV is fading out. The younger generation is not putting the same emphasis as some of us do. And landlines will likely be a thing of the past by the end of the decade. Many of you have cell phones, some like me, still trying to figure out how to use it. But in any event, those are some trends. But what about church trends? That's what I want us to think about for a few moments. I've looked at a number of sources, and they're credible sources. There could be speculation, but I think in most cases, these are based on objective and empirical data as opposed to speculation. I wonder at times if some of these trends are proactive or a reaction to past trends, maybe even in this past decade. But let me give you some of the ones that I've noticed most often pointed out as trends or possible trending into the 2020s. The first one intrigues me. Attendance will become a greater emphasis in the church in the 2020s. Now, like you, I'm discouraged when I see some of the predictions. Many sources predict that around 9,000 churches will close in Canada in the 2020s. In fact, some would suggest that might be a low estimate of churches. We know that in the 2010 to 2019 period, there was a general decline in church attendance. Although at Byron Community Church, our attendance was up last year, which I think is a real blessing. Yeah, that is good. Attendance, though, will be a priority. And what that means is that at a leadership level and other ways, we're going to be encouraging people more and more to attend church. And in fairness, over the last years, there's almost been an acceptance of, you know, if you attend church once or twice every 2 or 3 months, that's good. And I think maybe we'll recapture what is written in the Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so I think this is a good trend. And in fact, I know some churches this morning will be saying to people, take a look at your attendance habits. Ask the question, if other people attended church like I attend church, what would that mean in terms of the health of a church? That's a fair question. And in fact, in other churches, they may be challenged to set some goals, be intentional about how often you should be attending church. I don't want to guilt you. I don't want to ratchet up unrealistic expectations, but I think that's a good trend. It's good and healthy for you to show up at church. And did you know that it's a real blessing to others when you show up? Even if it's a Sunday, you go, I don't really feel like showing up today. I'm not sure if that's a topic that will interest me, or I'm feeling a bit sluggish this morning. There's value in you showing up. Another trend, which I think we're on top of, is there will be less flash in worship in the 2020s. And what that means is there's going to be a trending towards more personal worship styles. The days of coming to church worship to be entertained are fading out, and I think that's good. The emphasis will be on being a participant rather than a spectator, that you will participate, that you will engage, that there will be an authenticity to the way that we're worshiping. Another trend, and I need to be careful with this one, is there will be more charismatic experience. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean there will be more capital C charismatic churches, but people are saying we want more emphasis on the Holy Spirit. I found that interesting last spring. The series on the Holy Spirit surprised me, the feedback and your reaction to the series on the Holy Spirit. People are saying we want that experiential emphasis. However, which is intriguing to me, while there is a desire for that charisma, we want charisma with substance. So there needs to be a blending of information and transformation at the experience level. A fourth trend is the consumer-centered approach will lose people in the 2020s. And I think that's another good thing. In other words, the attitude of what can I get from the church is being replaced by what can I give? How can I contribute? How can I be involved? And I think that's a good thing. So the notion of what spiritual gifts do I have? What abilities do I have? How can I serve within the church community as we serve the community in general? Even, how can I give financially? Now, there's a mixed reaction by experts on how giving will be impacted in the 2020s. We know that for a lot of families, and families even here in our church, the 2020s could be very challenging financial times. But there's also those who argue that if we lose that consumer orientation, people will be more deliberate and intentional when it comes to giving in 2020. In fact, I challenge you, again, at the start of the year is a good opportunity and time. Think about, reflect on, how are you planning to contribute financially to Byron Community Church in 2020? If you're a part of this church, if you identify with this church, I'm not embarrassed, nor do I think it inappropriate to challenge all of us when it comes to our financial giving for 2020. I hope in 2020 you will be a cheerful giver when it comes to your financial resources. A fifth and final trend is evangelism will make a comeback in the 2020s. And that is another very good thing. There is a recognition that we need to emphasize this important part of who we are. Let me just throw out two or three bonus trends. First encounters for most people with a church will be online. So we need to keep an emphasis on website and doing things well in terms of our online activity. A healthy ethos will be critical for people in the 2020s. So the kind of church culture we cultivate and develop. The question is, are we a friendly church? It will matter to people. Relationships even beyond a Sunday morning are going to matter to people very much. People in general are very disappointed in the caliber of relationships they experience out in the world. So now there's a concern about where can we find these quality and deep relationships. And I think you'd agree with me that that's a vital part of what church is about. Finally, and this is a one that I found not only fascinating, but very appropriate. In the 2020s, vision clarity will be imperative. So I thought, wow, isn't that great as I discovered that. So the kind of thing we're doing this morning that we need to continue doing throughout this year as we tweak and establish our vision and our strategic plans will be very, very important to people in the 2020s. People want to know, what direction is the church going? Where are we going? What are our priorities? What are our goals? And churches that are deliberate and take the time to establish vision will thrive in the 2020s. Well, let's move on to biblical purposes, which I included in the center part of this sermon or this talk. And I just want to, lightning style, go through three or four key passages when it comes to vision casting. If we want to get a sense of God's vision for the church in general and for our church particularly, these are key passages. So I'm just going to read them through with very brief comment. We're going to start with the famous passage in all the Gospels. Here in Matthew 22, we read, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest command? What's the greatest priority in Scripture? Jesus replied, you've heard this before, haven't you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is linked to it. It flows from it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, all the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, however we establish vision and goals, we need to be incredibly sensitive to this statement by Jesus. Love the Lord your God and love others. The great twofold commandment. Next slide. This is called the Great Commission. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I always find that intriguing. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So on the basis of his authority, this is what Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The main command, the main verb in verse 19, is surrounded by a number of participles. What is the main verb in Matthew 28, verse 19? Make disciples. Going, baptizing. These are, in the Greek, participles that show us how we're to do the making of disciples. But that's a priority. That's what church life is about. If I was to go this week over to my friend Kevin's at Byron Pizza, and Kevin and his staff said, hey, John, you know what? This year we've decided to specialize in hot dogs. We actually don't have any pizza available tonight, but we've got some tasty hot dogs. I go, sorry. If you're called Byron Pizza, I think you should have pizza available. Can I be bold and say churches that are not committed to making disciples really aren't churches? Maybe social clubs, maybe a fraternity of like-minded people, but Jesus is pretty clear. People become believers, they make a decision for Christ in order to become a disciple, a Christ follower, marked by Christ's likeness, marked by an authentic worshiper of God. But we're in the business of making disciples. Let's just amplify this in two final passages. This is what I love for those of us in leadership. Paul is very clear as to what our purpose needs to be. He is the one Jesus that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's discipleship. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I love that statement. So it's not just self-effort, but it's an empowerment coming through Christ, or the Spirit of Christ indwelling us. And then finally, Romans 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good. And that's what we want, don't we, this decade? But the good is then expanded on, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. For what purpose? What's God's intent? What's his purpose? He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's the key to life, the spiritual life, to encourage and to stimulate you and me to be more and more Christ-like in our families, at work, in our neighborhoods, within this church community. It's to be Christ-like, the character of Christ dwelling and flowing in and through us. Now, the great owl has that, great horned owl has the ability to look back. And when we look at purposes here at Byron, it's not that we start from scratch. It's not that we say there's never been any past. Also, when it comes to church purposes, I have always wrestled with, is it about purposes that are personal or corporate in intent? Is it either or is it kind of both and? It's a blending, that there is that synergy between corporate and personal purposes. So way back in 1999, we came up with an acrostic that captured some of these God-ordained purposes in Scripture. And here we see it. It was very clever, those of us who were involved in developing it. This spelled out Byron. We call it the Byron acrostic. So the first purpose, to bring others to Christ. That's evangelism. I like this one, to be your place to belong. I've always liked that as a purpose. To reflect Christ through training. Never really sure what we meant by that. And maybe we'd get a failing mark on clarity, although I think the intent of discipleship is there. To offer worship to God, to nurture, it's one another. So that's what was our purpose, fivefold purpose statement that decade. And then about 2010, we came up with the infamous Grace acrostic. Now, whoever took the Grace banner that we had, I would love you to reveal that. I've asked the question over the last 2 or 3 weeks, do you know where the Grace banner went? So it's somewhere. That may be a great discovery in 2020 to discover who has the, you know, the banner I'm referring to? No. Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. It's actually, this is a good fivefold purpose statement for 2010 through 2019. You'll see it involves growth, being transformed into Christ-likeness. And when we think of grow, we think of how our programs, our ministries, express that purpose. That just isn't about how we grow in terms of our church behavior, but what that has to do with your family, your workplace, your finances. As I said, it's about discipleship. It's about growing into Christ-likeness 24/7 in every area and aspect of life. Then you see this word relate, loving others, which flows right out of the great commandment. We need to focus on this purpose, and I use this word intentionally, very dangerous if we overlook this purpose in any vision statement. Later this year, we'll give you a lot more detail in the next few weeks, but leaders, especially here at Byron, will be involved in a crucial conversation, workshop, and seminar series. This is good. We are told to speak the truth to each other in love, and I think this will be a major development in our pursuit of this purpose. Adoration, of course, involves worship, which I think is a fundamental mark of a person pursuing discipleship. Commune, experiencing intimacy with God, that's what we want. That's what we need. That's what the spiritual life is all about. When we were sharing the other night at the restaurant, one of the four of us, it wasn't me, said that their goal for 2020 was a deeper prayer life. And that really touched me, because you need it. I need it. This church needs it. Do you remember? It wasn't in a locker room. It wasn't in a dressing room. It was in the upper room, at the brink of the most important event in salvation history, when Jesus made this statement: without me, you can do nothing. Do we need prayer? Is prayer just kind of a luxury? Some people get together Tuesday mornings at 7. What a ridiculous time to get together for prayer. But prayer is vital. You can't survive your spiritual life. You can't survive other areas of life without prayer being fundamental. And intake, we're going to keep at it. We're doing Romans this month. Great, great part of the Bible. And maybe some of you need to say, for 1 hour, I can spare on a Tuesday night, or in other ways. Some of you have told me you've already begun an intentional reading through Scripture. That's how God talks to us. It's how He communicates to us. Don't tell me that you've got an intimate relationship with God, but you rarely open your Bible. That's a contradiction. It just doesn't fit. You're hearing voices, but I'm not so sure that you're hearing the voice of our Heavenly Father. So communing has to be a purpose. And then finally, evangelism. I love the way this got expressed. Proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel. It's a package deal. It's showing and telling people about the love of Christ. You need both. We need to be that bright light, as we learned in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you need to take opportunity to tell people about Christ? How will they know if they've never heard, is what Paul says in Romans. So we need to commit to evangelize. You know, about 3 years ago, we made a commitment. It involves Pastor Josh, that we would focus on community outreach. Now, unless I miss something, that focus has not changed. And when we think of the ball hockey, Friday Night Live, and other programming, you need to know that's very intentional as part of a specific focus we have emerging from our purposes. Now, the question I have is, will the grace acrostic be our acrostic for the 2020s? Do we need an acrostic? Maybe some of you are saying, I've got a new word, and maybe we can use that, but we need some purposes, we need some plans in that direction. So let me close this morning, this will not be on the slides, with some key words and phrases when it comes to vision. I read a book this holiday break by Doug Pederson. Most of you will not know that name unless you're a sports fan. Later this afternoon, Doug Pederson, the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, will lead his team 4:30. So after you watch Canada-Russia, 4:30 when you're watching Philadelphia play Seattle, Doug Pederson is the coach, a Christian, a fine Christian man, and he wrote a book called Fearless. And in it, he talks about some of the ways he motivates his team, the Eagles. And he uses a phrase every team meeting before the big game. And that is, chop wood. And I thought, how appropriate for you and me to chop wood. Because his point is, you don't knock down the tree with one chop. It involves a series of chops, and you need to be resilient, and you need to keep at it. And I think that's a key for us this coming decade, is we determine what it is we're to do, we set goals and purposes, and we keep at it. Keep chopping wood. Another word he uses that's used in many other places is ownership. One of my great fears is that some of you would say, well, that's a fine goal, that's a fine purpose, that's a fine vision for you, John, and some of the other leaders. But what we desperately need here at Byron Community Church will be buy-in. You got to buy in. We want you to buy in. Because a church where people aren't buying in might as well pack it in. And it needs to be something where we all say, yes, yes, I embrace that vision. Those goals, I want to align my goals with these God-centered goals. Another word which I've hinted at is that word clarity. Melissa said something the other night that really got me. I don't know, Melissa, if this came out of your Harvard Business School course. Sounds so impressive. I feel so humbled in your presence even when I make reference to that. But she used this phrase. She said, leaders with clarity are being kind to the people who are looking to them for leadership. Clarity is kindness. And that really struck me. That if we're unclear, if it'd be like you going, hey, I'd like to go to your place. Can you give me directions? Yeah, you kind of go down this street, and I'm not sure. Maybe you turn right, maybe you turn left. Just, you know, maybe just figure it out, and maybe eventually you'll arrive. Is that being kind? Is that being considerate? Frustrating, yes. So I would love for a word that we embrace at Byron Community Church this decade to be that word, clarity. Let's be very clear. And clarity helps us with vision. It also helps us with expectations. Let's be very clear about what's expected. You know what I would love? I would love somebody to phone me this week and say, John, I'm working at setting some personal goals for 2020 in the decade, but could you tell me what is a leader, what is part of a leadership team are you expecting of me in 2020 and this decade? Wouldn't that be... I hope some of you try that out. I'll take your call. But it's fair, isn't it, for you to say, but yeah, it goes two ways. So the question is, what are you expecting of the leadership here at Byron Community Church? That's a fair question. What are you expecting in terms of purposes, in terms of your goals and priorities in the 2020s? So, you know, if you come back and say, well, you know, John, what I'm expecting in 2020 is that I'm going to receive a visit from the whole leadership team once a week in my home. Ain't going to happen, okay? So, realistic expectations, but bold expectations, I think, are helpful there as well. Some other rapid-fire keywords. Change. We need to be very clear on what are the non-negotiables. I would predict that if our new purpose statement is biblical, there won't be radical change from some of the acrostics we've had in the past. So there's certain things that are non-negotiable. I would hope we never get to the point of going, evangelism doesn't matter anymore at Byron Community Church. You know, I won't be here if that day ever comes. But there are areas, particularly in methodology, areas of how we work out some of the purposes where change is important. I still remember the words of Leith Anderson, who said, churches that don't change rot. Did you get that? Churches that don't change rot. Maybe that's why there's a lot of rotten churches. Change is important. Change matters. Here's another word, momentum. We had momentum in 2019. There's a mystery to momentum. You can't always explain how it comes, and you sure are frustrated when it goes. But when it comes, you need to ride the crest of momentum. That's one of my great concerns as we begin 2020, is that we continue to ride that crest of momentum, that we maintain it, we treasure it. A phrase. Main things have to be the main things. Agreed? I've had some of you say, 2020, I want to be able to say no more regularly. I agree to that. My question is, what's your framework? Because here's my fear. You may be saying no to some things you need to say yes to. And you may be saying yes to some things you need to say no to. So in order to make main things the main thing, you need to have a clear sense of what are the main things. A couple of quick words. Implementation, which to me is a real key when it comes to goal setting. You could say to me, John, my priority in 2020 is to exercise more. I think I'm entitled to ask the question, so how are you going to do it? Because this discrepancy between sometimes what we say and what we do. And if you don't have a plan for implementation, it ain't going to happen. Can I say this again to offend absolutely no one? But if there is a weak area for most churches, it's in the area of implementation. We can agree to the purpose and say, amen, isn't that a great purpose? But it's, so how are we going to do it? And then a cousin to implementation is the term measurement. Or as my friend Jay Gurnett, you remember Big Jay, who is with Vision Ministries, he loves to ask the question, so in that area of ministry, what does a win look like? In sports, you've got a scoreboard, right? You know what a win looks like. But when it comes to personal growth, when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to worship, what does a win look like? We need to have measurements. I'm wrapping up here, and I'm going to say this phrase, are we aiming or are we aimless? I had a conversation with someone about a month ago, not someone from here, but I asked him the question, so what are your goals for 2020? And he looked at me and he said, I am really frustrated when it comes to this stuff about goal setting, vision, priorities. He said, it's all we talk about at work. He said, I am just weary and tired of it. And then with a twinkle in his eyes, I hope he was joking, he said, you know, John, my goal, what I'm aiming for in 2020 is nothing. And he said, you know what's great about that? Is I'm pretty sure I'm going to succeed. And then I thought of this. And I want to challenge you with this. I would rather aim at something worthwhile and fail than to aim at nothing and succeed. Does that make sense? I would rather aim at something worthwhile and fail than to aim at nothing and succeed. And that brings us to this very famous quote from Roosevelt. You've seen it before, the man in the arena, and it's going to be on the screen behind me. This is powerful. In fact, the other night, Melissa brought it up. Mark said he's never had a coach who's not referred to this quote in the locker room. But I think from our context this morning, it is a powerful quote. I put it on the screen. Karsten helped me with it. And we're going to close with this. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. That is a great statement. And it's a great statement for us. Let's roll up our sleeves in 2020. Enough of settling for mediocrity. Enough of saying, this doesn't pertain to me. We need you in the arena this year. We need you to engage with this church. It's the church of Christ, but it is your church. If you are identifying with us, if you don't identify with us, be prepared to join in, because this could be the decade of all decades at Byron Community Church. Is that what you want? Is that what you desire? Stand with us, please. Without vision, the people perish. Oh, may God help us capture His vision for Byron Community Church. There's a whole lot of things we don't know about the 2020s. Some of you might not be here at the end of the 2020s. Some of you might have major changes in your life in the 2020s. But this is the time. This is God's time for you. Enough for settling for second best in your spiritual life. This is the time. We need to step it up with God's help and by His grace. Let us determine to set high and lofty goals for the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ.